Good morning. It is a joy to be here for a lot of different reasons. If you live to be 90 years old, I will tell about your birthday. Harry Barclay, happy birthday. And we're talking about a fellow that, if you know the history of this church, you'll know that Harry and Betty have played a big role. They've been an encouragement. They're an encouragement right now. As to so many of us, we appreciate you, Harry. We're happy birthday. We look forward to celebrating 100 with you later, if the Lord wills. All right. Tomorrow night is the night for the men's fellowship. Starts at 6:30. The sign of the sheet doesn't have many names on it. I know that because mine's not on there yet. I'm going to get it on there. Please look. Sign up. Plan to be here. It's for men of all ages. If you want to come and bring your son, wonderful. Sign up. Put both of you down there and plan to be here. It is a little bit hard to prepare a meal for an unknown number. So if you sign up, that will be a big help. That's tomorrow night at 6:30. So be thinking about that. You may be wondering where Derek is. I can tell you he's usually the first one here and folks are the last one to leave. Today he's at home, not by choice, but a water main broke underneath their apartment and flooded their apartment. They're working on it, maybe even now. I'm talking about some maintenance people. So that's where he is. Derek does not skip out on things. But somebody's got to be there while the workers are in the house. So that's where he is. Hannah's here. Children are here. We're glad for that. But we miss Derek. Hope, Lord willing, maybe he'll get here in time for the afternoon service. We'd love that. About 500 years ago, there was a French philosopher by the name of Michael Equim de Montaigne. Never met him. Never read about him. But I would sure like to read a little bit more. Because here's what he said. My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened. He hit the nail on the head, didn't he? We are a stressed out people. If you don't believe that, just take a look around you. See the way people respond. They've got stress over this and stress over that. I'm not even going to start naming all the different areas, but people feel an intense amount of stress. A lot of it really is on things that will never happen. Worrying about things that just aren't going to come to pass. But nonetheless, we do it. We all do it at times. Today, I thought it would be a good thing as we continue this beginning of a new year to think about what God has told us that will help us cope with every problem of every day, including the stress that we may face. The first thing is pray. Pray, because ultimately really recognizing that you have a problem is the first step to solving it. The Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, which by the way, Chris Carr did a great job talking about Wednesday night. I'm not going to try to top that. I'm just going to refer to it and think about it. This is what he says there. As he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You hear it? Don't be anxious for anything. We could put a different word there. Don't be stressed out about anything. Well, how do you avoid it? Pray. Take it to God. While you're there, don't just talk to him about what it is that's troubling you. Remember to thank him for all he's done for you. Apostle Paul put it in less words, but I think it's pointing in the same direction. When in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing.
We'd probably say it a little bit differently.
We'd say, don't ever stop praying. Don't ever. Keep on praying. Take it to God. And then after you pray, listen. God speaks to us. Now listen closely. I want everybody to understand what I'm saying. In His Word, He speaks to us. He has things He wants to tell us. He's already revealed them. He set them down in the inspired pages. And we need to listen to what He has to say. In Psalm chapter 32, verse 8, listen to the singer of Israel as he records the message of God. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. You ever watch a group of moms? They all will be talking. All the little babies are asleep. Have you ever watched how they talk out of the corner, at least the corner of one eye? They're always watching that baby. Is everything okay? Are they fine? Did you ever thought God's that way? God is watching us all the time. Keeping track of our needs. Aware of the things that trouble us in life. Listen to Him. In His Word, He tells us how to live. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, we come to one of those incidents that I suppose at first blush we'd say, well, there's nothing there for us in this regard. After all, it's the Sadducees. They've come to Him. And as they come to Him, they're trying to trick Him up, as so many. In fact, in this case, they want Him to admit there's no resurrection. And they throw out their best argument in regard to that. We don't want to talk about their argument. Here's what we want to do. Listen to the answer that He gives. I think it's one that I need to hear. Maybe you do too. Matthew 22:29. Jesus replied, "You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God." Is my problem today, is your problem today, that we just don't know the Scriptures? That we're not aware that God deals with this thing that is in front of me, that He dealt with it centuries ago, and I just haven't taken the time to notice? The Sadducees' mistakes in their understanding of God and what God could do arose because they didn't know the Word of God. What about me? Could that be part of my problem sometimes? The singer of Israel in Psalm 119 pins what I suppose just about everybody would know as the longest chapter in all of Scripture. But to me, the more I look at it, I'm less impressed with the length of it than I am with the purpose of it. He took all those verses to praise the Word of God. Listen to the way he began that psalm. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart." You want to be blessed in life? Seek God. But how are we going to find Him? Oh, Paul on Mars Hill, Acts chapter 17, says, He's not far from any of us. I understand that. But how are you and I really going to find Him? Let him talk to us. Let Him speak to us through the pages
of His Word. He's right there speaking as a loving Father to the whole family of God. Listen.
And then ask.
Ask for forgiveness. I want to be careful here. Not all stress comes because of my sin. Sometimes it does. Sometimes we're stressed out because we've done wrong and we basically know it. In that case, we need to ask for forgiveness.
Listen to John, 1 John chapter 1, beginning verse 8. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have an observation. You may not agree with me. Just think about it a minute, though. I believe we live in an era when most people are looking for somebody to blame for why they did something wrong. Looking around and casting, well, I'd have never done that if it hadn't have been for. And then you supply it. It can be different things with different people. But the reality is that if I sin, I sin. Doesn't matter who encouraged me. Doesn't matter who went before me, so to speak, and I followed them. Oh, they'll have to deal with God too. But I've got to deal with God in reference to my own sin. I need to learn to just own up to it and ask Him for forgiveness. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, we get a great, great reassurance in reference to that. He's talking, of course, about Jesus when He says, therefore He is able also to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them.
I'm old enough now, I can tell you that some of my go-to people can't be gone to anymore. I don't mean to say that if they were alive, they wouldn't help me. I'm saying they're gone. My go-to guy in preaching was always my daddy. He's been gone since the end of 2000. So I can't go to him anymore. But I can go to Jesus. I can go to God through Jesus. He's always there. He's always ready to make intercession. Always ready to stand before God in my behalf. He's our high priest. Let us realize it and seize upon really that wonderful idea. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about that. When writing to the young preacher, he says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He's there, ready to be our mediator. Remember Job? All those troubles he was in. He's talking about a man with his stress. I'd say he ranks right close to the top, wouldn't you? What was his number one desire? I want an umpire. Well, we wouldn't probably use that word anymore. I want somebody to go between me and God. I want somebody to be my mediator, to take my case before God. You know what, brethren? What Job wanted in the Old Testament, we have now. We've got it right now. Jesus will go to God for me. He's my mediator. He's your mediator. If you're a Christian, we just need to learn to ask for forgiveness. And then develop a support system. Listen to the writer of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to pick up at verse 9 and hear what he discovered as he looked for the wisdom and the good things under the sun that is on the earth. Here's a part of it. Two are better than one. because they have good reward for their labor.
For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
If you've hung around this old life for any time at all, you've seen what I've seen. Some poor widow who fell and broke her hip.
Nobody lives with her. She may be a long way away from the telephone. Even if she's got a cell phone, it might be in the other room. And there she lay.
Who's going to help her? It's sad. But you know what? She just illustrates the truth about all of us. If we want to have a strong family here, we've got to come to the realization that every member of the Lord's church needs
brethren, friends, somebody we can talk to, somebody we can go to in the hour of difficulty. Think about what the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Will you accept what I'm about to say as a matter of kindness? There are people here on Lord's Day morning, like right now, who never return on Lord's Day evening. We miss you. Can I go a step further? We need you. Not all my problems come to light on Lord's Day morning. What about you? Every one of your problems, you know them all this morning. There can't possibly be another one pop up this afternoon. You know better than that. We need the encouragement of brethren every time we meet. We need that support system. We need that encouragement. I'll tell you what, it thrills my soul, and I suspect it thrills the Lord, to watch what happens around here when somebody responds to the invitation. It starts really during the invitation song. People come out of the pews, and they sit down beside that person, put an arm around them. There's an elder on one side and a brother or sister on the other side. And I've seen more than once when the elder gets up to tell the church so we can all pray, another brother or sister pops in right that spot. And they console them, lift them up. After the final amen is said, why sometimes the lions will drop the back door. That's the way it ought to be. We need a support system. We need encouragement from one another. Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, it's not very hard to figure out that there are some things that one man alone cannot pick up. You ever try to pick up that box that's in the back of some of these fellows' trucks? I'm talking about the ones made out of metal. All by yourself now. You ever try to pick that up? You do, your life will be, well, we may have to visit you in the hospital and trash. No, we
need a friend. Hey, could you help me just a minute? Could you grab the other side of that? Do you not realize? Do I not realize? That spiritually speaking, sometimes the load is too heavy for me to pick up by myself. I need a support network. I suspect you do too. Develop a support network so that you'll be prepared to handle the stress. And then act. Act to change what you can. Some things I can't change. The wrinkles that come in my face, they're just coming. I don't know what you got. The hair color, would you believe that I used to have dark brown hair?
I know some of you, I even saw one, but some of you say, well, at least you have hair. I used to have hair too.
Nothing I can do about those things. Nothing you can do about those things, is there? But there's some things I can act on. There's some things that I can work on. In Acts chapter 2, here's the Apostle Peter standing up. He declares that Jesus was approved by God by the miracles that he did, and that ultimately God raised him from the dead. The response of the crowd beginning in verse 38 is powerful. They were cut to the heart, and they cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now listen to the answer. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, for you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse," he didn't say wicked, by the way, "generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. What did they do? They acted. What could they do? Could they take Jesus back down off the cross? No. Couldn't undo that. What could they do? Repent. Be baptized. There's an action that takes care of something that ought to be caused. And it did. Causing as much stress, they were cut to the heart. In Luke chapter 19, we see Jesus going to the house of a little fellow named Zacchaeus. You've got to wonder, how tall was that fellow? But it doesn't really matter, does it? He goes to his house, and here's what he hears. "Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." By the way, that was the law. He said, I make restitution the way I ought to. I act like God wants me to act. That's what I need to do. If I sin against somebody, go to them, straighten it out. That's what God tells me to do. That's what he tells you to do. We've all got to act on it when we can. Acts chapter 19, we see a group of people who had been idolaters, but not just idolaters, they were into the magic arts. It's a bunch of fakeries going on there, but they spent a lot of money on it. Listen to what happens when they become members of the body of Christ, Acts 19:19. "Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver." What'd they do? You want to get rid of it? The stress? Act on it. Burn the books. Get rid of the trash. You know, I'm not talking about the garbage. I'm talking about the trash you've had in your life. We've all done it. Let's admit it. You want to get rid of the stress? These are some of the things that I think we can do. We can pray. We can listen. We can go forward, as we talked about it earlier. We can ask for forgiveness. We can develop a support system. We can act. That's where we are this morning. Now, I'm not through. If you'll go back in a little bit, we'll finish this up. But for right now, If you've got the stress of the burden of sin in your life, what's the answer? For those in Christ, it's ask God forgiveness. He's willing to forgive. For those outside of Christ, it's repent and be baptized. You're ready? I know this. God's ready. Come, all we say.